remember it quite well. I was in college, and there was a young man in my theology class. He was from Haiti. We actually had a number of international students there at college. And we were talking about the Holy Spirit and miracles, and he says, "Oh yeah, well, of course I believe that. Last year I saw a man raised from the dead." We said, "How's that?" Yeah, last year a man in my community was raised from the dead. Four days later, he came back to life. We said, "So you're an English speaker, obviously, but do you mean like dead, dead?" He said, "Oh yeah, he was dead." And then four days later, we prayed over him, and he came back to life. I said, "Oh, okay. Since then, I have come to believe that is, while a little unusual, not entirely unusual, that we serve a God who can do this, and we serve a God who does do this. And I've gotten to witness a few miracles myself, and I know that there are others who tell me about these miracles that are happening in recent days even. Miracles are not a thing of the past. The Christian Post reported someone being healed of deafness at the very site where George Floyd was killed. There's a mini revival going on there right now. A woman named Narita Walker testifies that she had been struggling with miscarriage when a preacher prophesied over her that she would have twins, which came to pass. Recently, a Christian pastor in India was targeted by Hindu extremists, tied up and thrown in a lake to drown. Miraculously, he slipped out of his bonds and swam to safety. These are all recent reports. God works these mega miracles. He does. But I wonder, what about the mini miracles? What about the little miracles, the modest little miracles? Does God do those? And I answer today, yes. Looking at our text, looking at God's word, it appears that God is okay doing those kind of miracles too. In fact, he delights in doing those miracles, the modest little miracles. Let me point out just three things from our little text today. As Heather read to you, Jesus is there in his ministry. It's early on in his ministry. And there in verse 29, it says that immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, and Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever. Jesus is told about her. And here's a situation that we find these days. Of course, if you have a fever, please don't come to church because of the coronavirus thing. But we find this, right? And you may have worried about this. You get a fever, your kid gets a fever, and you're like, "Oh goodness, what's going on?" But normally we don't worry about these things. They're just a nuisance. Or maybe you have a headache. It's not a big deal. It's common enough. And it's kind of funny that Mark is mentioning this, right? But my first point is this, is that Jesus is happy to work modest little miracles. He's happy to do that. That when Jesus sees this problem, Simon's mother-in-law having a fever, he takes care of it. And if you look at the context, notice that Jesus has already been working miracles on a much grander scale. If you have your Bible in front of you, you'll notice that right before this, Jesus has cast out a demon. It's an unclean spirit. It's been convulsing this man. And Jesus casts out this demon. If you look around afterwards, it turns out that Jesus is doing lots of other healings as well. But right in the middle of all of these healings, Jesus casts out a fever. Isn't that funny that you can cast out a fever? But that's kind of the language here. You see this, that Jesus lifts the woman up by the hand and the fever left her. In Luke's version of this story, it says that Jesus rebuked the fever. On a certain level, apparently in the kingdom, on a certain level, there's little difference between the natural evil and the supernatural evil. Very little difference between the bodily evil and to spiritual evil. Jesus is there to eliminate both. They're both to be overcome. If you look at Mark 1, verse 34, it says, "And Jesus healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons." Demons, disease, on one level, it doesn't really matter. Jesus is there to heal. But funny that he'd be focusing here on Simon Peter's mother. He has lots of people to heal of major diseases, but he focuses on Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Why does he work these little miracles? Well, it turns out in this text, there's not a whole lot of usefulness to this, except that it shows that Jesus' heart is big and his power is big. And I believe this. I think what this shows about Jesus' character is that he has compassion. This man is a compassionate man. When he sees a need, he addresses it. And it tells us something about God, because this Jesus is the God-man. He's the Son of God. This is who God is. God's heart is compassionate. I think of what Kayla was talking about last week, that we need to see God's goodness, see God's compassion, and that's the thing that will make us holy. Well, we see Jesus' compassion right here. He didn't need a great justification to do this work. He just did it. He did it out of compassion. A number of years ago, I had a back injury. I was lifting weight too much. And as I did a lift, I felt a pop in my back. Actually, I heard the pop, which is not a good thing. And I was stupid enough to finish the lift. And I hobbled off to my apartment, and I collapsed. And within a few hours, I could not get up out of bed. I could hardly even stand. I could not walk around. And so I grabbed my computer, and before calling 911 or anybody, I just emailed my friends, and I said, "Would you pray for me? I think I messed up my back really badly here, and I can't walk. Just pray for me." And it's one of those miraculous things, because I woke up the next morning, and I was fine, walking around with ease. I still can't explain it to this day. God honored their prayers. He healed. And it's not because there was some, it wasn't like, you know, I needed to, preach a sermon the next day. It wasn't because, like, I was going on a mission trip the next day. No, I just asked. God's heart is full of compassion. And so don't be afraid to ask. We mustn't be shy about asking God for miraculous solutions to normal needs. That's why Psalm 10:17 says, "O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear." That's why Philippians 4:6 says, "In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Why? Because Jesus is happy to work modest little miracles. That's point number one. A second observation. Modest little miracles anticipate the great miracle, resurrection. Modest little miracles anticipate the great miracle, which is resurrection. Jesus heals in order to give a preview of the future. Right? You know what a preview is when it comes to movies. Right? You watch that trailer, you watch that preview, and it gives you a sense of what the thing's going to be. Not the whole thing, but it gives you a pretty decent picture, hopefully. Well, that's what this healing is. That Jesus wants to do a little resurrective work in Peter's mother-in-law. Because you know this, friends, at the end of the age, once eternity begins, there is no such thing as fever. We're going to be hanging out on the new earth, walking with Jesus, talking to each other, and we'll be like, you know, "Daryl, you remember when we had fevers? I can't quite remember, but yeah, we used to have fevers, right?" And it'll be kind of like the way we talk about diphtheria now. "Oh yeah, people used to get diphtheria. What was diphtheria again?" Right. It's going to be that way someday. There's no sickness in the future, right? In Mark's gospel, Mark uses foreshadowing this future language. And you see it here. It's kind of subtle in the English, but it pops through in the original Greek. Notice in verse 31 that Jesus came and took her by the hand and did what? Lifted her up. You see that in the text, verse 31? What does it say in the NIV? Somebody have it there? Is it lifted her up? Helped her up? Yep. That upward movement is a Greek word, egeiro, which means I lift up, to lift something up, to lift someone up. So he did that physically, right? He lifted her up. Well, it turns out, though, that same word, lift up, the same verb, lift up, is the same word that is used in Mark 5:41 when Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. He raised her up. It's used again to speak of a boy who seemed to be dead after an exorcism. This is Mark 9:27. Jesus raised him up. Raised up is the term Jesus uses for the coming resurrection of the dead in Mark 12:26. And egeiro, to raise up, is the very term the angel uses to tell the disciples that Jesus is raised up from the dead. He's risen from the dead. Do you see what's happening here? When Jesus raises her up, it's a little preview. It's a little picture of resurrection. When our bodies are raised from the dead, they're not sick. When our bodies are raised from the dead, they don't suffer. You're not under this fog of pain. That's not a thing in the resurrection. When Jesus raises you from the dead, you have a body. You will be physical, but you will not be in pain. You will not be sick. You will be immortal. And that's what happens. When you see a little physical miracle, a little healing miracle in your life or in somebody else's life, that's a little window to the resurrection. In biblical terms, to be healed miraculously is to experience a kind of foretaste of the future. That's why James 5:1 says, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And I don't want you to forget that, friends. If you die before Jesus comes back, you will be safe with him in heaven. You will be protected. But your forever state is going to be with a body. You'll be raised from the dead. And Romans 8:23 says this, we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So even now, we recognize God's resurrection power. Because modest little miracles anticipate the great miracle, resurrection. So far, so good. One more point. The point is this. Little miracles empower us for acts of service. Little miracles empower us for acts of service. Look at verse 31 again. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Other translations say, wait on them. She's healed and she serves. She's cured and she serves. She's raised and she serves. This is a biblical pattern that when you are cured, when you are given something, you give back. If Peter's mother-in-law had gotten better on her own, she would have simply gone on her merry way, pursuing her own agenda and her own pleasures, and no one would have thought anything about it. But out of this act of grace from Jesus, she responds in gratitude. She's raised, and she serves. And I believe that this is the case. If God heals you, or if God works a little miracle of any nature in your life, all he asks is for you to tell somebody about it. If you get an answer to prayer and you don't tell somebody about it, I dare say, I think you're sinning. It's not what God wants. God wants you to tell other people about this. and he wants you to serve. One of the major miracles that I've seen in my life, my friend Jordan. Jordan was diagnosed bipolar. He actually had to drop out of college. It was so disruptive. He was having psychotic episodes. It was just a mess. Well, when he went home, he stayed with his parents, and it turns out that the doctors were trying to get him medicated, and they found a medication that was kind of working, but not exactly. But they were trying to get it under control, and what happened is that he went to a church service one day, and very much out of his control, a man called him to the front and said, "I hear that you're bipolar." He said, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, I want you to know here that God has cured you today. You're not bipolar anymore." And he said, "How's that?" And I don't know why this man felt the courage to prophesy that, because you know this, that bipolar doesn't go away. That's not a thing, medically speaking. Well, Jordan went home, and he kind of sheepishly told his parents. He said, "I got prophesied over, and this guy told me that I'm not bipolar anymore." And his parents are like, "Take your pill." But after a month, he hadn't had any more psychotic episodes. He didn't have any symptoms at all. And he went to his parents and he said, "So, you remember I got prophesied over a month ago and I haven't had any symptoms since? Could it be?" And they said, "Take half a pill." And after another month, he didn't have any symptoms at all. And so he went to his parents and he said, Do you think a couple of months ago that the man could have been telling the truth?" And they said, "Probably not, but let's try it." And he went off his medication, and he hasn't had an episode since. I got to witness that, folks, in real time. God works those kind of miracles. But here's the thing. Jordan, since then, has been serving. His work is actually working with Latinos who are under exploitative labor sometimes, and he actually champions their cause. It's a really difficult job and not one that he could do if he were under the burden of this illness. And I've met so many people who are able to serve because they've been healed. Some people serve out of their illness, it's true, but sometimes God heals people so that they can serve, so they can have that ability. Yes, God has compassion on you, but he wants to call forth something new in your vocation. And there are little ministries here at Grandview. They're little, but they're important. But they are all ministries of gratitude. Some of you do works of service in the community through Union Gospel Mission or the Food Bank or RAC. Do it out of gratitude. Others of you do the important work of discipling children or youth. Praise God, but do it out of gratitude. Still others help with audio, video, or worship leading, or hospitality, or accounting. And these miracles, these ministries are not miraculous per se, but they all come out of the spirit of miraculousness. They're all responses of gratitude for God's grace. If you want to have it in Christian perspective, these ministries are in response to God's miracles, expecting that God will work further miracles as you serve faithfully. God has been healing us, body and soul, that we might serve. So people of Grandview, I say be bold when you pray. Be bold in praying for modest little miracles. Because God is the one who forgives all your iniquity and who heals all your diseases, says Psalm 103:3. Be bold in praying for that, because we know this, that whether or not we see miracles left and right on a regular basis, we have beheld the greatest miracle of all, which is Jesus Christ, that God decided to become one of us. We know this, that Jesus lived a perfect life on our behalf. We know that he worked lots of miracles, but in the fullness of time, he went to the cross and he was killed by our people that we might be delivered from our sin and even delivered from death itself. And he showed the greatest miracle by raising himself on the third day. And this God-man came back from the grave alive forevermore. And this is the one who preaches to your heart. This is the one who can work miracles in your life. And this is the one who has you slated for the great miracles. It's coming your way. So believe now in faith that this same Jesus will work miracles in your life. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being that miracle maker. Thank you for being the one who loves us so much that you pay attention to the little needs that we have. So may it lead us to our future. May it lead us to you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.